I don't see the Dases here today. Are they? They just had a little one when, Cheryl? Thursday, okay. Little boy, right? Little boy, okay. So, what? Caden, that's number four, okay. We'll look forward to seeing Caden here in a week or two, perhaps. But until then, if you just want to see some good-looking babies, Pam and Dennis have two twin grandsons back there that they would probably let you look at, okay? You can't take them home, okay, or anything like that. But I tell you what, that's enough to ride home about right there, isn't it? Okay. Dennis, Otis, and who?
Harley.
Arley or Harley? Arley. Otis and Arley. I told Mom and Dad, I said, those guys are going to kill some chickens one of these days. Otis and Arley. Cute as they can be. All right. Monday morning, I got up, like I do by God's grace, and started looking at what we were going to do this Sunday, okay? For the last 3.5 years, over 3.5 years, I've said, turn to the book of John. And named you a chapter, and we went to the book of John. We're out of chapters, okay? And so when I got to Monday morning, and I looked over there, and I thought, oh my. I told our folks that we were going to finish John today. Well, I didn't see it, okay? We're down to two verses or so, and one of them said that if everything that Jesus had done had been written, the whole world wouldn't be able to contain the books, which that's impressive, but, you know, I wasn't going to get farther than that, I didn't think. And so I thought, I have deceived those good people. And so I said, Lord, surely you wouldn't let me do that if you didn't have something more to say. And so he just started taking me to verse after verse after verse throughout the whole book of John. And I was writing those down, all right? And I got to the end of that on about Thursday morning, and I thought, all right, it's your word, it's the, you know, but what do we do with this? I'm just being honest with you. This is my week unfolding, okay? I just didn't really have anything. And then the early morning of this morning, it all came together. I've been really troubled, as some of you have, about all the hatred and anger that's just epidemic in our country today. I've never seen a time like this, okay? We've always had elections. And, you know, if the Republicans were elected, the Democrats were mad for a few weeks. And if the Democrats were elected, the Republicans were mad for a few weeks. And we got over it. We're not getting over this one. There's this seething hatred that is just leaking into every orifice of our culture. And so that's bothered me. That was over in this part of my mind. And what I was going to do this morning was over in this part of my mind. And this morning, those two things came together. And the Lord showed me that what's going on in our country today is that we have two worldviews competing. Two worldviews. You say, well, I've had the measles and chicken, but I've never had a worldview. Okay? You have a worldview. Every person does. And it defines how we approach life and all that we do, this worldview that we possess. Well, what's going on in our country now is a collision of these two worldviews. All right? And so all those verses that I had hold of from John, okay, he just said to me, that defines, these verses define which worldview you have. And I thought, I get it now. I get it. So that's what we're going to look at this morning, okay? Is we're going to look at you. This is kind of a final exam over John, if you want to think about it like that. You're going to define for yourself which of these two worldviews you have. You see, there is a worldview of those who have died to self and followed Jesus. Not just verbally, but with your whole being. And then there is the worldview that promotes self regardless of what it costs. And so we have those two groups in our land today. And we have those who have a world Christian view, Christ view, and we have those who don't have that view. And those two are the ones that are colliding. Because one promotes self and one denies self. So, if you'll permit me, okay, we won't have these up on the screen or anything like this, but I want us just to begin, and I'll try to be quick about this, all right? But the first thing that caught my attention from John's Gospel was when John told us, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, your worldview is going to deal with that. If you have a self worldview, you're going to reject that. You're going to reject the fact that Jesus was eternal in the past and is eternal in the future. You're going to reject the fact that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. If you have a Christ worldview, you're going to believe that Jesus Christ is very God come in the flesh. All right? You're going to have a position on that this morning. Everyone in here is. So the question I would give you on your little final exam that you're taking this morning, do you believe that Jesus has always been? Do you believe that Jesus is very God in the flesh? All right, so just write that down, okay, and we'll grade these a little bit later, okay? All right. The second thing I came to was when John, the apostle, reported about John the Baptist's testimony. And John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming to him, when he was baptizing in the Jordan River, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So the question here is, do you believe that Jesus Christ can take away the sin of the world, specifically the sin of your life? If you believe that, okay, then you have a Christ worldview. The worldview of those who do not have that, who have a self worldview, self-oriented, and that's expressed in many different ways, those folks would say, "Hey, I don't have any sin. Because I do whatever I want to do, and if I want to do it, it's right." You see how those things collide right there? But John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And you will find those individuals over here who are promoting self will not even acknowledge that they have anything called sin. It's what I want to do. It's my choice. It's not sin. I don't know what you call that. You're all hung up on that. I don't have any sin. That's that self worldview. All right. Third, and I won't try to keep track of these numerically, okay? In John chapter 3, verse probably that you have committed to memory, most people have, or it's most committed verse, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." The question this morning is, have you believed in Him? You see, that's what puts you in this group or this group. This whole thing of believing. God loved you. He sent His only begotten Son, God in the flesh, to die for you on the cross. And if you believe in Him, you do not have perishing in your future. In other words, you're going to live forever, eternally. Now, there over here, those who are promoting self are going to die forever, eternally. But you see, if you have believed, you are going to live eternally. That's the promise. Not that I made this morning, but that's His promise. Now, the question then would be, have you believed in Him? And that is a yes or no answer. You have or you haven't. Not are you planning to someday, but at this point in time, which is the only day that you have any guarantee of, have you believed in Him? And that's a yes or no answer. If you have believed in Him, then you are over here with those who deny self. That's your worldview. Or you're over here with that worldview of I'm promoting self. All right. The next verse that caught my attention was when Jesus was going north to Galilee. Okay, been in Jerusalem, he's going north. And to do so, you either went around Samaria, as you recall, or you went through Samaria. Samaritans are half-bloods, okay? They're half-Jew and half-something else. And so the Jews rejected them as unclean. Wouldn't have anything to do with the Samaritan. Jesus went right through Samaria, and he went to this well. And there was a Samaritan woman who came to get water from the well. You remember as we looked at that. And Jesus, in speaking with this woman, said to her, "The hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship Him in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. The hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship Him in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him." You are either a worshiper of God or a worshiper of something else. One of our folks was telling me this week he had some visitors at his house, and they were two young ladies, and they were Mormons. Now, if you're a Mormon here today, I'm not throwing rocks at you. I'm just telling the way it is, okay? And so this individual entered into a dialogue with these two Mormon missionaries. And the statement that he shared with me that caught my attention was the report that these ladies gave. Well, we all believe about the same thing. In other words, what we are professing and what you, it's about the same thing. You know, it's close, all right? Folks, that's a lie. That is a lie. Because of the person of Jesus Christ. Mormonism is a cult. Okay? And you're like, should you say that in a public place like this? You know, it's going out over the internet and all. Yes, it is. Why is it a cult? They believe something, but they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came and died on a cross for the sins of the world. They will tell you what God is, you will be. In other words, you are going to be God someday if you are a follower of their teachings. It's not close, folks. It's polar opposites. All because of the person of Jesus Christ. You see? And that's what he was saying here. The hour is coming, and now is when true worshipers, you can only be a true worshiper of Jehovah God if it's in and through Christ Jesus. Okay? The Jews were worshipers of God. They made sacrifices. But Jesus is putting them over here with those who are not true worshipers. True worshipers can only be in this, worship Him in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking true worshipers. Those who will come in Christ Jesus to worship Him. Now, another place in John where we stop. So, I guess the question there would be, are you a true worshiper of God this morning? Does that define you? Or are you worshiping something else? You know, if you're involved in some pantheistic religion, that would be things like Hindu, Muslim, Buddha, and those kind of things. They worship something else. And in some cases, a lot of something else's. Because that something else that they worship is an expression of themselves. So basically, they're worshiping themselves. All right. Another place we stopped, Jesus, John quoted Jesus when Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." You see, there is something out there in tomorrow's tomorrow called judgment. We know that that exists. There will be a 7-year tribulation period that comes after the catching away of all of those who are true worshipers, followers of Jesus, have a Christ worldview, have passed from death into life. You get who I'm talking about? There's coming a day when they will be caught away. You think, this is getting weird, okay? Well, that's just what, I'm just telling you what the Word says, okay? So your worldview, you either accept this as God's inerrant word or you reject it, you see? And if you reject it, there's nothing I can do for you except tell you about Jesus. And so if you believe what the word says, that there is coming a time soon, I believe, you'll have to figure that one out for yourself, okay, when the trumpet of God will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with him in the air. And some of you are hearing that music, aren't you? Okay? No. All right? At that point, when the church is caught away, the church would be all believers in Jesus Christ, okay? Then that starts the clock of a 7-year tribulation period. 7 years. During the early parts of that 7 years, there's going to be the appearance of one called, the Scripture calls, the Antichrist. He is going to be a charismatic rock star, to say the least. The Scripture says the world will follow after him and literally worship him. And there will be a false prophet that arises and speaks about the Antichrist. And then you have the devil who is instigating all this. Sound like a trinity to you? It's an unholy trinity. Satan always copies what God has done. So you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You have the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan. All right? And at the midpoint of that tribulation period, God is going to judge all of those who are alive on this planet at that time. That's one of the reasons, if you want to take solace in the fact, well, will we go through the tribulation or not? His purpose of the tribulation period is to judge Christ-rejecting people. He has already judged you and me on the cross. And besides, we have been caught away. And so the judgment is going to fall for 3.5 years, the last part of that 7-year period, when he pours out his wrath on Christ rejecting human beings. You can read about that in the book of Revelation if you want to. At the end of that revelation period, Jesus Christ, all the armies of the world will be going to be gathered in the Valley of Megiddo. That's a valley in Israel. You can go there today, okay? It begins about Jerusalem and runs about, 70, 80 miles north of that. It's a wide valley running down through the midst of that land. And all of the armies of the world are going to be gathered there, and Jesus Christ is going to return, and with the sword of his mouth, okay? Somebody said one time, well, all that means he's going to say drop dead, and they do. I don't know, okay? But anyway, it's over almost before it starts. And he comes to that place on the Mount of Olives, place he left from, and all of these people that are gathered there are going to die. Up until this time, about a third of all people have already died. Two-thirds of all people have already died through various plagues that are unleashed by him in that tribulation period. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. Don't confuse the catching away of the church, the rapture, and the second coming. And then Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. That's called the millennial kingdom. Okay? Now how do we get there? I saw that turn off, and I sure as oh yeah. At the end of that 1,000 years, there will be that judgment I talked about. Okay, that's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Read carefully over the last chapters of Revelation. Those at the Great White Throne Judgment are the dead. Read about it. Okay, the dead are judged. It says the dead are judged. The oceans gave up the dead that were in them. Okay? Who are the dead? Those folks in this worldview over here who have never believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are alive and have rejected Christ up until that battle of Armageddon. Okay? That's the dead. Small and great, it says. And they're going to stand before Jesus Christ, because all judgment has been given to Jesus, the Scripture tells us, and they will be judged based on what they have done as living human beings while they were on this earth. That could be a while, it could be a long time. And then the books are going to be opened, and the books are open, and if the person's name is not found, the books contain all of the things that those people have done, not you and me. If we're over here in this worldview, I am of Christ, okay? No, there's nothing recorded that you've done, okay? Except those things that will have been judged why you did it for the glory of Christ or the glory of yourself, okay? The judgment seat of Christ. But the Great White Throne Judgment, what are you going to put over here against you if you're in Christ Jesus? All the bad stuff. All the sin. It's already been judged. It's gone. You see, when He looks at you and me, if we're over here in Christ Jesus, He sees us as holy. Forgiven. You see? So that's one of the reasons you're not going to be at the Great White Throne Judgment if you're here in this group who are in Christ. And so, those who are not in Christ then are going to be cast into the lake of fire along with the false prophet, along with the Antichrist, and along with Satan himself. And then eternity starts. And you'll notice I didn't put an end on that, right? There is no end to eternity. All right. Question. All right. Long way to get there. Will you be judged for that which you have done that is sin? Okay, fill in that blank, all right? If you have to sit here this morning and say, got me, yeah? Then your hope is not in Christ Jesus. Because if your hope is in Christ Jesus, you will not be judged because there's nothing there. No sin. So when Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Another place in John where Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Said another way, is there a hole in your life? These folks over here who have that worldview of promote self, they have a gaping hole in their life that they're trying to fill. They're mad, they're angry, they're lashing out, they're doing whatever they can, trying to fill that hole. I got to fill that hole. Man, I'm just, basically what they're saying is, I am starving to death, but everything that I try to put in there to fill that hole, it's not going to work. It doesn't work. I'm still hungry. You see? Well, the question this morning then is, are you still hungry and thirsty? Regardless of what you try to do to fill that hole in your life, are you still hungry and thirsty? You know, last week, and folks, the pain, I've heard folks say, my phone just blew up. Well, what they mean is, you know, text or something like that. My phone blew up this week. Coming from so many of you who have that hurt in your life that we dealt with last week, that resulted from jealousy and selfishness, that created that discord. And all I want to say to you is, there is grace to deal with that hurt and pain. Can't take it away, but there is grace that will fill that hole that is in so many lives, at least so many of that sent me a word and poured out their hearts, etc. But this morning, you're either hungry and thirsty, or you're filled. And what Jesus said was, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. The hole is filled. There is no hole. You are satisfied in Him. Another place in John, in an early encounter with Peter, when the many followers no longer walked with Him. Jesus, a lot of people had started following Jesus by this time in His ministry. And He noticed that there were several of them that were just leaving. They had followed Him, but they were no longer following Him. And Jesus said to Peter, do you want to go away as well? To Peter, that guy at the front of the line as far as the apostles are concerned. You know, it's watching all these people walk away, and he said, Peter, do you want to go away as well like they are? These other disciples, these other followers? Do you want to go away as well? And Peter, way go Peter. Peter said, to whom would we go? You have the words of life. You see, if those folks over here could ever hear the words of life, the hole in their life would be filled, their destiny would be assured with Him in His heaven, but they are angry and lashing out because their life is not hid with Christ and God. And Peter said, to whom would we go? You have the words of life, words of eternal life. They are yet to hear the words of eternal life. Hear to the point of believing. Another place in John, Jesus said at the last day of the feast, there was a feast that was being celebrated there in Jerusalem, and at the last day of the feast, He said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And that rivers of living water was indication of the Spirit flowing out of the person's life. So the test question here is, there is something flowing out of your life. Every person here, if you're in this group or if you're in this group, there is something flowing out of your life. What is it? If you're in Christ Jesus, that which is flowing out of your life is the Spirit of God who dwells in you. You see, the Spirit can't flow out of a life that is not in Christ Jesus. Something is flowing out, but it's that putridness of anger and hostility and rebellion and all those kind of things. And another way to say it is, when people look at your life, when you look at your life, what do you see? Do you see the Spirit, or do you see the pollution of the sewer of the world? Another place in John. John said, I am the light, or Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. As you look at your life, okay, just turn your mind and look inside, okay? Are the lights on or is it dark? If there's lights on, it's because He's there. If it's dark, it's because he's not there. And there is no light. Another place, Jesus said to the Jews, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You see that on college campus buildings, the local newspaper. That's on the Bolivar Herald Free Press. I never read that, but if you go up there to the top and read it, right under the Bolivar Herald Free Press, it says, "The truth shall set you free." Okay? But that's not the essence of what's been said here. I am the light of the world. I'm sorry. If you abide in my word and you are my disciples, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Do you see what precedes that statement? Yes. For that statement to apply, you have to know the truth. You are a disciple of Jesus. Then the truth will set you free. And we know here that truth is what God says and what God sees, right? All right. Another place in John. Jesus said to the religious people. You can put that in there today, whoever you want to put in there, okay? The religious people. Any religious people. All right? Any religious people. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power, it says in the scripture. Said to the religious people, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He has nothing to do with truth," he, the devil, "because there is no truth in him," him, the devil. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. Short question here on this one. Who is your father? You have a father. And it's either Jehovah God or Lucifer who became Satan. One or the other. One or the other. So the question, who is your father? And he said to this group of religious people, "Your father is Satan." That should get every religious person's attention. Religious as in they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power, his power. Another question, quickly. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you." All these are from the book of John. You remember, don't you? You memorize all of them, everybody? Right? Okay. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." We're talking about their eternal death. You see, there is eternal life, but there's also eternal death. That lake of fire I mentioned a while ago, it's not one of those, it's over. Death goes on for eternity in the same way that life goes on for eternity. You with me? Then Jesus said, "I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death, eternal death." So, your plans. Are you planning to live eternally or die eternally? And you say, neither. No, you don't get that. It's one or the other. One or the other. Only one or the other. You're going to live forever or die forever? Not according to me. Jesus Christ said that himself. Another place in John, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and he leads them out." In other words, he's the shepherd, he leads his sheep out. "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes but for to kill and steal and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." Question. Do you have abundant life today? Not I'm planning to. No, today. Do you have abundant life today? You say, well, won't you define that and we'll see. The abundant life. Not eternal life. There's eternal life. But there is abundant life. That is the promise of Jesus Christ Himself. Abundant living, the abundant life, is all that you need. And you're satisfied with it. And more to give. That's the abundant life. You have everything you need in Jesus Christ. And then you have more, and you fill in the commodity there, okay? Whatever He gives you is what He gives you today, okay? And so we don't get all, well, I don't have one of those, and I do one of those, and everybody else has one of those. And that, no, no, no. Abundant, it's what I have. Thank you, Lord. That's one of the reasons I pray you do this, okay? Is every time you sit down to a meal, okay, you thank Him for it. And I'm not saying that's going to get you in heaven, okay, but I'm just going to say that you are showing that you recognize Him as the giver of that gift of food to you for that meal for that day. Okay? And it's a tremendous way to witness to your kids. If you don't do this, okay? If you're a grandpa, you can do that, okay? But Dennis, okay? If just peek, you know, we have a gathering. You know, some of the kids be home. Maybe all of them are home, and there's 10, 11 grandkids, not 11 quite yet, okay? And I'll peek, okay? And you know, all kind of stuff. All right? Make that a time in your family. Start at an early age. All right? And we have this one little charismatic guy that he insists on praying, okay? And, no, I'm being, that, don't take that serious, okay? But he, you know, the idea is to think, we get into a whole lot of different things, you know, okay? Which is okay. All right? That's okay. And then pretty soon he'll say amen, okay, and we'll get to eat. All right. But that I'm not trying to make light of that in any way. That's a time you can witness to your family. And when you have people that come to your house, or you go out to eat at a restaurant with people, okay, the abundant life that He gives you included that food. Why would you not thank Him for it in front of those people over in this group, okay, when you go out to eat? Go for it. When you're in a restaurant, they'll bring you food. Pray over it right there. You don't know who's watching. And that doesn't really matter. It's you telling your Father, thank you for the abundant food that you have given me for this meal on this day. We got to hurry, okay? I'm not in a hurry, but you are, right? Jesus said at the death of Lazarus and the resurrection of Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And Jesus then asked Martha, do you believe this? Mary and Martha, Lazarus the brother, Lazarus died, dead 4 days. Jesus came, raised him from the grave. Okay, John told us about that. And he said to Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? And that whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die, never die eternally. Do you believe this? Well, I'll just pass it along. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? How you doing so far? Batting or scoring 100 so far? Oh, I hope so. Because this is a pass-fail test. You understand that, don't you? Got to get them all correct to pass the test. No 50% will get you by on this one. Next question. Jesus said, John told us, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Notice this, just as I have loved you. Jesus, how did you love us? Enough to die for us, right? Okay. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples. Husbands, I'm going to go back there last week a little bit. You know the best testimony that you have, that you're in Christ Jesus, is that you love your wife as Christ loved the church? That's what he's saying here. That's the greatest testimony you can have to those that you are around who are not believers, is that you love your wife as Christ loved the church. You see, she's a one another. Okay? She's a one another. Do all men and women then know that you're a disciple? Not because of what you tell them, but because you love them and they know it? That's the question. Jesus promised, John told us, Jesus promised that if he went away, he would come again. John 14, many of you know this. Let not your hearts be troubled, Jesus said to those following him. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that? I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. You heard me read that. You've read it yourself. Does it apply? Do you have a reservation in his house? The one that he went to get ready for you. When Jesus was working on your room, was he thinking about you? Said, this is going to be Mick Brown's room right here. Okay? You see, heaven is 1,500 miles cubed. Okay? 1,500 miles this way, 1,500 miles this way, 1,500 miles this way. That's a big place. That's about as far as here in New York City, give or take. And then that way, and then that way. And there's Mick's room right up there on the 4,000,000th floor. All right? And he's saying, this is Mick Brown's place right here. He's thinking about us. He said he was, I go to prepare a place for you. There are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I do prepare a place for you, then I'm coming again to get you, to take you to the place that I've prepared for you. Is that your future? Do you have a reservation? Come what may. Jesus said in John 15, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. In other words, the Father's over the vineyard. Jesus is the vine. Every branch, your branch, I'm a branch, every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. And those branches that are taken away are burned. Piled up and burned. It says, read it yourself, John 15. Question here, are you going to be burned or pruned? That's the question. One or the other. Are you going to be burned or pruned? I want to be pruned. Why do I want to be pruned? So that I will bear more fruit. For me? No. For him. Burned or pruned? Jesus said, John tells us, if the world hates you, it hated me before it hated you. If you were in the world would love you as its own. I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Back to those two groups again, okay? Those with the worldview of Christ Jesus, those with the worldview of self, this group hates that group, and they don't even know why. This week in Uganda, I've never been to Uganda, okay? On a map, I could get close to where it is. There was this group of people, okay? They locked the doors to this church where there were Christians worshiping. And then they went in and they raped 15 of the worshipers, killed several others, and beat the rest with rods. Why? Why? Because these folks, they're in Uganda too, hated those folks. And that's what Jesus is saying. Marvel not if the world hates you. Why are the folks out there in our land, these riots and all that that's going on, why are they attacking, and the first ones that they seem to be after are those who would profess to be Christians? Christians and conservative Jews are the ones that just create this globalist movement that's out there, which is over here. Okay, they just hate Christians. Why? Jesus said, if the world hates you, it's hating you because of me. You see this divided camp that we're talking about? Evil, righteousness. Okay? Now, our command is to love. Their nature is to hate. And what Jesus is saying is, if the world hates you, it hated me before it hated you. If you were in the world would not hate you. But you're not in the world. You've been called out of the world. And I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. It's not going to get better. No initiative of the President of the United States, no going to this group, that group, the other group, is going to fix the problem. It is systemic. It is the nature of. You think, well, couldn't you say something positive there? I wish I could, but I can't. Because Jesus said, I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And he didn't say it's going to stop. You can do whatever you want to do over here to appease, and they will still hate you because of who you are in Christ Jesus. I guess the question on this one would be, is there tangible evidence that the world hates you today? Tangible, can you touch it? Experience. Tangible evidence that the world hates you today. Jesus said, it's, John tells us, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, capital H, God the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. That's the Helper, to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Do you know, on an ongoing basis, the reality of the Helper in your life? Daily, moment by moment, you know of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, when the Helper comes, he will be in you. How does he get in you? When you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to reside in you. And he never leaves. And he comes in total. You don't have to get a second helping. There's only one helping. Him. He's a person. He's a person. And he comes in total. And he comes to fill your life. That's why Paul said over there, don't be drunk with wine to excess, but be filled with the Spirit. be inebriated by the Holy Spirit so that He controls everything you think and say and do, just like wine would to a drunk person. It controls all of the, what they do, how they walk, etc. So the Spirit, that's an antithesis there, so the Spirit fills you and controls everything you are, do, say, and act on an ongoing basis. Do you hear from and are you aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? The Helper. Jesus said, we just have two left, okay? Jesus said, He asked the Father. He prayed for us. You know what Jesus prayed for you? He did. He prayed for you. I do not ask for these only. He was praying for the disciples in John 17, you remember? But I pray for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one. That's you. That's me. He prayed for us, those who would believe, based upon the testimony of the disciples, as it's echoed down through the ages, He was praying for you and me. And He said, I pray that they may be one. Is there unity in the body of Christ where you belong? And do you contribute to that unity, or do you diminish it? Because Jesus' will is that you be as one, you be in unity. We looked at that last week, you'll remember. And so, we get all the way to the end of the book of John. And the last thing we hear from the Lord Jesus, it is finished. He's on the cross. He suffered indescribable persecution, punishment, agonizing physical torture, emotional torture. Everybody has left Him. He's hanging there between heaven and earth, and about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the Friday before Passover, John records, and John was there, Jesus said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. And the doorway for the forgiveness of your sins and mine was now open because He died on the cross for us. Did He die for you up to this point in your life, and you're aware of that, and you make confession of that? Or is this just an obscure event in history that may or may not have happened? That would be these folks over here. But if you're over here, you believe that when He said, it is finished, what He was saying was, my death for sin is a completed task. Forgiveness now flows from my body to your sin. Is it finished? Well, I said there was just one more. There is just one more now, okay? Can't stop there, can we? You know what's coming. Mary, John told us, in sorrow went to the tomb. Her Lord had died and was buried, and she was coming to the tomb. While she's there, there were two angels that appeared to her. And she said, they have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have laid Him. And having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize it was Jesus. But Jesus said to her, Mary. That name that she recognized, which was her name, when He called it, her eyes were open. When He called your name, and your eyes were opened. Then you see as she saw that it's Jesus. She said, Rabboni, teacher. And Mary went after she had seen Jesus and told the disciples, I have seen the Lord. Last question. Have you seen the Lord through eyes of faith today? Up until this point, has there been a time when you saw Him through eyes of faith? Again, yes or no? Well, how'd you do? Pass, fail. Hundreds passing, anything less is failing. Because this is the life of those who possess a worldview in Christ Jesus. And there is another worldview, and all the rest of them are put into this one, okay, of those who haven't. And this morning, you have a worldview here or here. And how you answer these questions determines which one you have. Let's pray. Father, what a joy it is for these 3.5 years or more to turn the pages of your precious word in the book of John and to follow with him in the steps of Jesus and hear you teach us, Lord Jesus, and watch you live the life that you live before us. It's like an old friend, John, that you were faithful to record what took place. The hours that we spent with you have been, well, they've just been the grandest of times. Not because of your writing expertise, not because we like some of the stories, but because it was all about Jesus. And John, when you closed your book and you said, if everything that Jesus had done had been written down, the world wouldn't contain the books. It's kind of a confusing thing to us, but I understand a little more. And we have all eternity to hear the more stories that are yet to be told about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I pray this morning that every person in these chairs has determined in their heart of hearts which of these two camps they live. And Father, to those who are yet to believe, I pray that you would call unto them again today. Come unto me, all that you labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.